Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's the most unwoke hour of the week here with John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. Man, John, you were here last Tuesday, right? It seems like a lifetime ago. Look at everything that's happened since then. We had the Trump rally, President Trump in the House on Friday night and more. I was really hoping you were going to be at the Trump rally, and I was hoping that I would get the chance to interview Ronnie Jackson, because I wanted to have the not so reverend Johnny Jackson and Ronnie Jackson. But at least Ronnie Jackson was on the stage, though. That was one of the coolest moments of the whole Trump rally.
That was a great shot of you and David Noble there leaning over the press line there. And David's got his phone out, and you're checking everybody. It was just a great shot of y'all, you know, in front of the crowd.
Yeah, we were laughing about something. I don't know if it was Steve the plumber that got that photo, Steve from Bozeman that got that photo and tweeted it out, or who it was. But, yeah, great photo, because we were just laughing up a storm. A wider angle might have shown the bitter looks on the faces of some of the other media folks that were there. But we were having a good time. So,
did you see our favorite girl, Holly Michaels? She was there for about a hot second. She was outside, took a couple of pics of the crowd outdoors, and then quickly ran off to go to Ryan Bussey's event and then some other counter protest. She dared not even go inside.
So Ryan Bussey, or Fussy, as you like to call him, the Democrat candidate for governor, he's in downtown Bozeman. First off, I was in downtown Bozeman that afternoon. Apparently, we were like a block away from wherever his event was going to be. There were a ton of Trump supporters. Even the everyday Bozeman people that we ended up talking to on Main Street Bozeman were all like, you know, I mean, obviously great people, nice people. But they were all like, they were all on our side. Right? I mean, and then there was a bunch of tourists thrown in the mix. The only, like, Kamala Harris supporter I ran into was actually a friend of mine who's a great photographer up in Glasgow, Montana, and his girlfriend had on a Kamala Harris T-shirt. But they were, like, the only two, like people that you would think might even think about attending a Bussey rally that were even there. Everybody else was like, oh, yeah, pro-Trump, pro-America, everything. And but Bussey, it's downtown Bozeman, one of the most blue cities in the state. And he had, like, what, 30 people?
Well, he doesn't want – he's kind of hiding right now because he's sure he's going to get his eyes scratched out by Zoe Zephyr. I mean, that's coming any day now. Which, when he catches him somewhere, it's going to be a cat fight. Like, I mean, fur is going to be flying.
Oh, yeah. You know, because Zoe will not only chop off the you-know-what, but might actually go for the you-know-what with a big old kick. We got to get to this green-on-green violence here between radical leftist transgender activist Zoe Zephyr. Very angry at old Fussy Bussy.
Just really pissy. Yeah, really upset. Yes.
We got to talk about this one. Yeah. But what was the deal? He had like 30 people at his little campaign rally in downtown Bozeman. Was it a dueling banjos event?
It was a sword fight.
Oh my God.
Swords up, boys. Swords up.
Oh my goodness.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Just because they're Republicans and fellow senators doesn't mean they always see eye to eye. Republican Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski is known for being outspoken about her views. Murkowski is now hitting GOP vice presidential nominee and Republican Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. Murkowski called Vance's comments about childless cat ladies, quote, offensive. Murkowski said, quote, if the Republican Party is trying to improve its image with women, I don't think that's working. She added that, quote, to be so derogatory in this way is offensive to me as a woman. Democrats have excoriated Vance over his 2021 remarks when he said the Democratic Party was being run by, quote, a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices they've made, and so they want to make the rest of the country miserable too. Many Republicans have advised Vance to choose his language more carefully. Democrats are trying to court female voters because of abortion and various things that former President Trump has said about women. Murkowski says she will not vote for former President Trump. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we were in the middle of the Trump rally on Friday night, but this was a funny little sidebar story. So apparently while Fussy Bussy, the Democrat candidate for governor, was doing his little dueling banjos party in downtown Bozeman, apparently major shots fired. So Zoe Zephyr, the Democrat radical transgender activist state legislator out of Missoula, apparently he got really pissed at Bussy and is basically calling Bussy a racist. Give us the backstory here, John.
Yes, Bussy sees the governor's mansion, you know, getting a roof put on it, and happens to see some LBGs up there, some little brown guys, are the roofers, and somehow also interacts with them and hears them speaking Spanish. So with this, he just assumes they're illegals and uses that as an outward attack on Governor Gianforte, that Gianforte's hiring illegals, and he gets to this just because of their skin color and they speak Spanish. And our brother Zoe Zephyr there saw this attack and just pounced on Fussy. I mean, pounced on him, calling him a racist. And how dare you do this to our brown brothers?
It was
beautiful.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's say a hailstorm comes through and, you know, you got to call a roofer. You call a roofing company. It's a local company. And like, is it my job to vet and demand to see the papers of every single one of the guys that are doing the roofing project? You got to assume that the Montana business is doing that. So, but yeah, I mean, so basically, here's the Democrats that are always calling people racist, and yet they're the ones actually doing what you might say is racist stuff. Big surprise there, right?
And the only person that I've seen so far that we've heard from on this is Zoe Zephyr. And us. Can you imagine for a second if that was Greg Gianforte that had said something like that? The entire there would be a press gaggle around the governor's mansion, all of them demanding a comment on why he's such a racist.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's been a couple instances, even on the show, because this is a live show. We take phone calls, and so it's an unscripted, you know, people will call in, say whatever they want. There was one time where people, they asked, there was something on the internet and they said, hey, what's the story? There was this white bus with government plates and looked like a whole bunch of illegal aliens were on there. And I'm like, well, look, that hasn't been verified. But those white buses look very similar to the ones that I used when I was in basic training in the military. Well, the story comes out. It gets verified that, no, they weren't illegal aliens. They were active duty soldiers, that we're here supporting, you know, some training. And so it's like, that's why it's just get your facts before you go on the attack. But the Democrats don't typically have to have their facts, because even though Zoe Zephyr is attacking Ryan Bussy, where's the wall-to-wall mainstream media coverage that should be attacking him as well?
Well, and all of those people, every single one of those members of the Montana media that you know, that you're talking about, all of them follow Zoe Zephyr. I mean, like rabid dogs, and push forward his message, anything that comes out but that message. Oh, no, they didn't want to talk about that one, though.
Well, that's because they also follow Bussy like rabid dogs. I mean, I was just laughing my tail off earlier this morning. I'm doing my show prep, and I'm about to spit coffee all over the studio windows here. I needed the little squeegee to squeegee the coffee off the windows, because I read this headline from the liberal Montana Free Press. And what was the – I got to read the headline for you word for word here. Let me see. I'll pull it up on my Twitter, but – or my ex account here in just a second, but it's just like they literally slobber over any Democrat running for office, try to make him look like a moderate, when the guy got paid $150 an hour to testify in support of California's gun ban.
Oh, and what's happened now? You saw it really, really turn hard left as soon as they installed Kamala as the nominee. And now what we are getting ready to experience for the next 90 days will be so jarring to your consciousness and your respect for everything in the media. It would just be right out of a movie how bad this is going to be. It's going to be right out of Moscow or Havana.
Yeah. Here's the headline. Quote, Ryan Bussey's mission to convert Republican voters. We got one of our great Democrat callers, really good guy. I've met him in person, Jared in Anaconda. you know, a great musician, you know, he loves to smoke his you know what, but he's a good guy. But he even said, you know, I kind of like this Gian Forte guy, you know, and so it's like Ryan Bussey and liberal media, what are you smoking if you think that Republicans are going to vote for Ryan Bussey when he can't even get a lot of Democrats to vote for him because he's so far out there?
Bussey trying to convert Republican voters, that notion, that's like Hamas trying to convert the Jews. Okay, that's their same methods right there.
Yeah, no, that's, well, what a line there by John Jackson. Hey, Elon Musk and Donald Trump, I wasn't able to listen to the whole thing during my drive from the Scalise event in Bozeman last night, but how many people tuned in for that? I tuned in for a portion.
Yeah, it was awesome, and it was so overwhelmed at first, not only by listeners, but then by a denial of service attack that they had to back up. It was about 40 minutes delayed, and they finally got it going. But Elon is putting out this morning, just here an hour ago, that 73 million views, and then he says, with subsequent discussion by other accounts, 1 billion views. Insane. Did you listen to any of it, Aaron? It was really good. They went back and forth.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, and what I was looking for is, because there were a lot of the similar themes that he brought up at the Trump rally Friday night, but I was looking for what was new. Him talking about the need for an iron dome over America, that was great. Him calling out not only Kamala trying to steal his no tax on tips proposal, but how Kamala, and in reality, John Tester, they went after waiters and waitresses. So we'll get to that more after this. Man, we just ran out of time on Monday's Montana Talks. We had several highlights, interviews from the floor of the Trump rally Friday night in Bozeman, Montana. But there's more. I caught up with former Fox News reporter and State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert. Plus, my rally floor interview with Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. I'll get to that on Tuesday. Plus, John Hines with Northwestern Energy talks about the great news, the natural gas power plant in Laurel. Tuesday's Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Unfortunately, we've only got him here for the 8 o'clock hour today because we've already got some guests that were on the calendar for the 9 o'clock hour today. But John, we're so grateful to have you here on the show. Anytime you free up for us here every Tuesday, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, the most unwoke hour of the week. If you got a quick question or comment, want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970. Steve in Ballantyne, what's going on?
Morning, guys. Well, you know, remember Biden released to Iran, was it $8 billion or something here a couple years ago? And, you know, my feelings is that was not a real good intelligent decision on the Democrat Party, because that $8 billion is really coming back to haunt them, because Iran and Hamas, you know, all that, a lot of that money is getting used to go after Israel. And, you know, look at all these protesters, peaceful protesters, I guess, that are going to be arriving at the DNC this next week to protest, pro-Hamas and against Israel. And I think the Democrat Party's in a real bad position right now, because if Iran decides here in the next day or two to go and actually go on offensive, you know, just do an actual, you know, war against Israel, Biden's going to have to step in, and that's the last thing that man wants to do, because they need the votes. They need the college votes. They need all this. And like I said, now they're already getting together and going to have a big, big demonstration at the DNC. I think Israel is really going to play into our hands and going to hurt the Democrat Party.
Well, at the end of the day, Iran is going to do everything they can to undermine America. Iran is clearly, they do not want to see Donald J. Trump as president, but yet at the same time, they also want to cause problems within the Democrat Party to continue to move that party more towards the pro-Hamas, pro-Iran wing. Yeah, no, great point, Steve. The only thing I would add to it, John, is that Not only did Joe Biden and John Tester free up billions of dollars for Iran to use against Israel, they've been using it against us. They've been launching attacks against our vessels vis-a-vis the Houthis. Hell, just last week, Iranian proxies attacked American troops at Al-Asad Air Base.
If I could get one message right now to Bibi Netanyahu, it would be right now, starting today, up through the Democrat convention, launch it all. Launch a major offensive against any targets you have. You know why? Because we need every Muslim savage in this country right now at that DNC convention. Protesting, raising hell, creating havoc, that's what we need.
Now, let me just to make sure, because there's some pearl clutchers out there, you're not suggesting that every single Muslim in America is a savage radical Islamist, but you're just saying that there are a lot of them. And we know there's a lot of them because we've had wide open borders, that those are the ones you're referring to there, right?
The only ones that would go and do that kind of thing are the savages.
That's right. Yeah, because I've served with some great guys, as interpreters and things like that overseas, as well as I'm sure you have as well. But then there's also been some bad interpreters, as we know, too. And so that's why you gotta fully vet all these people, not just throw them on airplanes and bring them to America like the Biden administration has done. But real quick before we go to our next caller on the phone lines, Jim Jordan, for our Kalispell listeners that were at the Jim Jordan rally at the beautiful baseball stadium there. Even if Jim Jordan wasn't there, I was just happy to be sitting in that ballpark because it's such a beautiful baseball stadium there. But anyway, Jim Jordan, absolutely incredible to get a chance to see him. But he talked about Donald Trump, and it was real funny. I think he quoted Dan Bongino, and he said, you know, there's two guys you don't fight in a bar. You don't fight that 6'5", 280-pound, full-of-muscle Brock Lesnar-looking guy. The other guy you don't fight in a bar or pick a fight with in a bar is that full of piss and vinegar. These weren't his words. I added that part to it. But the 5'2" guy that's ready to fight anybody, you don't fight that guy because he's crazy. You never know what he's going to do, right? And he said, Donald Trump is both of those guys. He is both of those guys. He's big and tough and powerful. And America's adversaries knew that. But he's also crazy enough to do it and to do what you may not expect. And America's adversaries knew that. And that's why Donald Trump was so successful.
But always remember, Donald Trump in his heart is a businessman. And you will look back over his career. You will never see him throw the first punch. He is never the guy that starts the bar fight. He counter punches. And that's what's lost a lot in this. You know, with all the normies out there, they think Trump is this mean guy and his mean tweets and all this. No. Every single time he lashes out at somebody, it's because they took a punch at him first. And I want to add one more thing on that, Aaron. There's a third guy you should not fight in that bar. If you see that guy with the cauliflower ear, you know, maybe one or both of his ears is all jacked up, swole up, don't mess with that guy either.
I was going to say, I think you just described every guy at the UFC that I saw down in Vegas a few months ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We got to tag along with the Anthem Snacks crew out of Bozeman for that. What an incredible experience. All right. Well, John Jackson joins us every Tuesday, but he also does a podcast on Rumble with the mighty Human Z. Z, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Gentlemen, as always, I'm doing research. John and I had this question this morning, and so Africa's CDC declares Mpox a public health emergency, and John wanted to know what Mpox and what does the M in Mpox stand for. And John, I found that out. It stands for Minnesota. Don't get me in trouble with Minnesota, guys, but that's what it is. Minnesota pox, and don't ask if Tim Walz has something on, you know, his walls.
A pox on all your houses, if you live in Minneapolis, at least. Yeah, that's what Tim Walz has been.
That's right.
Yeah, Mpox. I thought that was a new rapper or something like that, John.
There's a country in Africa now that's declared it a public health emergency.
Really?
Yeah, but now you cannot say monkeypox anymore. You have to say Mpox because that's got some kind of connotation that they don't want out there.
Yeah, why can't you say monkeypox? Is it because it was going through like the LGBTQ community or something like that at very high rates? And then all of a sudden, like, I just don't get why couldn't you call it monkeypox? Or speaking of viruses, it's a virus, right? Yeah. Anyway, you were telling me this during the break. Dr. Fauci, this guy has gone through every Greek letter in the alphabet. He's had every variant out there. In fact, Dr. Fauci is the variant. Dr. Fauci got COVID again.
Yes, for the third time. Dr. Fauci has COVID for the third time now. That's just the third time he's reporting to you. And see, Dr. Fauci is not only vaxxed, but he is six times boosted. Right? How is that working out for you, you midget little clown? I mean, yeah, you were going to listen to him the whole time during COVID and do everything he says. Look at how it's working out for him.
Yeah, God, he is the variant. We saw that from day one here. Let's see. Back to that point that Stephen Ballantyne made. He was talking about Iran and Israel and how Joe Biden, and then I added John Tester supported this. That's why they call him Tehran John Tester, because he has supported Iran and has allowed Joe Biden to free up those billions of dollars to Iran and more. But you know, the point that Stephen Ballantyne made was the reason Iran has been able to launch all these attacks is because of the money that Biden freed up for them. That's a point that Donald Trump made in this conversation with Elon Musk last night as well.
All the stuff that you're seeing now, all the horror that you're look at Israel, they're all waiting for an attack from Iran. Iran would not be attacking, believe me. You know, when I was there, and I say it with respect, because I think we would have been good with Iran. I don't want to do anything bad to Iran, but they knew not to mess around. Iran was broke because they told China, if you buy from Iran oil, it's all about the oil. That's where the money is. But if you buy oil from Iran, you're not going to do any business with the United States. And I meant it. And they said, we'll pass.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't buy oil. Other countries, likewise.
Sure.
You want to buy, you're not doing business with the United States. And they were at a point where they had no money for Hamas. They had no money for Hezbollah. They had no money for any of these instruments of terror. And it was amazing. In fact, there were articles when I was leaving, which is hard to believe, actually, especially when you look at what's happened to our country. Our country is so bad right now. It's such a different place. We were respected. Think of it. 4 years ago, we were so respected to a point where when I said don't buy oil, they didn't buy oil, but they had no money.
Yeah.
And Israel would have never been attacked. Zero chance.
All right. Yeah, that was just part of that conversation last night. John, what were some of your favorite highlights from the Trump rally, or what was it like for you just watching it from afar?
You talking about the Trump rally in Bozeman?
Bozeman, yeah.
He came out and just fired up that crowd, and you knew that crowd right away. There was not a I'm understanding there was not a single empty seat in that stadium, and it was people outside. Our girl Tester will not be reelected. She was out there at, 9 a.m. that morning already snapping pictures and having a good time. He brought Sheehy back up there. Sheehy got a chance, you know, during the main broadcast to put out his points. You could tell, and the idea that his plane got derailed here in Billings, and he got another plane and still got it done. The whole thing was just a great patriotic event.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, any other politician would say, yeah, you know what, we had a plane issue, and then we had to fly to West Yellowstone, and we had to drive here, and then we had to drive there. You know what, sorry, guys, we won't make it. No, Donald Trump still, he shows up for his people, and you can tell he's got a special relationship with every single one of the people in that audience, as they did with him. I mean, I was talking, you know, earlier this week about just the people in walkers, you know, the elderly that stayed as long as they possibly could. I mean, I was there until midnight. I practically pulled a 24-hour shift that day, and I could have kept going too. But even Donald Trump, I mean, just absolutely incredible to watch in person every time I've gotten a chance to see it. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. And, we got phone lines open. And then I'm sure John has a whole list of stuff to talk about that we should get to as well. Because last week, he had one thing he wanted to talk about last week, and we never got to it. In 2 hours.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter. Hey, I just got a message here from Tim and Savage. He says, you boys may be unwoke, but have you listened to the flakes from 5:30 to 6 in the morning? I'll reference Mark and Paul down the hall. Those guys are great. But in fact, Tim, wasn't I the first one to tell you about that? I said, oh, man, these guys, I think they'll do a podcast of that early morning time slot, but they just go off. I mean, if you think we're unwoke, listen to Mark and Paul at like 5:30 in the morning. It's hysterical. So, yeah, Tim, thanks for that message. That's why I try to bring them in from time to time, too, because it's always fun. Let's see. Where did we wrap up before? I better ask you before I get to our next caller. John, what do you want to talk about this morning? Because last week you had like one topic you wanted to cover. Jamie Raskin was talking about civil war and we're not going to allow Trump to take office even if he wins the election. And we never got to it. 2 hours of phone calls and everything, and we never got to the one thing you wanted to talk about. So what do you want to talk about this week?
Well, because the news today, and it's God, this has been going on for 8 years now, the news today is just one giant fire hose almost on a daily basis. A lot of big things get missed. And I tell you, you didn't hear a lot of talk about this story. Yesterday, it comes out that the official site agent for the Secret Service at Butler, where the assassination attempt on Trump occurred and he was actually shot, she has been posting pictures of herself on her assignment down in Mar-a-Lago on social media, which this is not allowed via Secret Service protocol or rules, because what is the first name of your agency? It's called the Secret Service. Okay, you're not supposed to be out there on social media or anywhere posting up where you are, what you're up to. And so now, what does that tell you? If she was the official site agent for that assignment, Trump gets shot, and this woman can't even figure out how to not post stuff on social media. That kind of gives you an insight into the competence level that was going on there.
Well, and especially with the Secret Service, because if they know, like, that's why, like, I have a friend that I served in the military with who's Secret Service, but I'm not going to share his name. And frankly, I couldn't even tell you where I even thought about texting him, hey, man, any chance that I'll see you in Bozeman? But I thought, no, I'm not even going to ask him that question, because it's like, you know, frankly, they probably wouldn't send somebody who's from a specific area to work that specific area anyway, because they don't want any chance for, you know what I'm saying, for you to be known or spotted. But yeah, like, if they now know that that person is the charge for that site, they could target you, they could threaten you, and so, yeah, but that's just crazy.
I remember years ago, it was during, you're like 08, 09, you remember when Sarah Palin was running with McCain back
then? Oh, yeah.
Since his running mate. One of the Secret Service agents on her detail was posting lurid shots of her legs and her backside on his social media, like, oh, check this out, right? He got busted for that. Guys, social media is the death. If you are still working out there in law enforcement or even in just in private sector, be very, very careful what you put out there if it's in your real name and it can be traced to you. It is very, very dumb.
I lost that opportunity a long time ago. I'm out here every day under my name saying what I want to say and tweeting what I want to tweet. And you know what? Hey, you know.
But you're very careful. You're very polite. I mean, you don't put out things like that. And of course, what you do is all about the news. It's not this kind of stuff that your company has told you, Aaron, don't do that, and you go and do it.
Well, you know, they really haven't told me what not to do. I mean, I gotta you know, credit them for that. I mean, throughout all the COVID years and everything, there were some days I was like, well, man, I'm just going to say what needs to be said, and I'm going to let our callers say what needs to be said. And, we were so fortunate, too. We were in Montana, and so it's like, heck, Travis, you remember those COVID days? It was like Travis, me, Mark, and Paul. We were like the only ones in the building. Everybody else was just, you know, voice tracking from home, selling from home or whatever. It was like, it's actually kind of cool. We just had the whole top floor of the Doubletree to ourselves, and you know, never wore masks, never forced by the company to get the jab or anything. So, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to mess up a good thing there, but, you know.
can you imagine, like, you're still doing your reserve stuff. You go do your training, you go to these bases and do training. Can you imagine if you were down there and you're taking a picture from inside the skiff and putting that out on your Twitter, right? How would that go down?
Well, like, for example, well, like, when I was gone for my military training, because we have such a respect for, like you have such a respect for federal law enforcement service and what you did. And because I have such a respect for military service, like when I'm gone and I'm full time doing my military stuff, you won't see me posting my political stuff on social media. You won't see, you know, you won't see me calling into the talk show rah, 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 because I'm gone from my military training. And like, for example, and even though there was like some, so I was down in southern Florida when all the, you know, pro-Cuba freedom rallies were going on. Remarkable displays in support of freedom, right? Sean Hannity ends up going down to the Cuban restaurant down in Calle Ocho, Little Havana. Now, after my duty was over, I was like, man, I want to go see this. I just want to go see it. I'm in my off time. My duty day's done, whatever. I'm not in uniform. So I'm like, I'm going to go watch this. Got some incredible photographs. I even got to shake Hannity's hand. I was like, big time Sean Hannity. You know, I said what's up to Sean Hannity, and it was cool. But I didn't even share those great photographs or even talk about it on the air afterwards, because it's like, that's not why I was there. Like, because I was down there in my off time, I got to go see it. But it's like, but these, some of these people, like the Peter Strucks of the world, they have zero disregard for this country. They have zero disregard for the oath that they took to our Constitution. And that's why they will undermine our country. They will undermine the very law enforcement agencies that they work for to push their own political agenda, which is something our side doesn't do.
Well, how it reflects is like I said a minute ago, someone that cannot follow this very, very basic instruction and rule about not posting up your duty assignments on social media, how do you think that reflects on that job they did at Butler, protecting the president?
Yeah. Travis, our producer, made a really good point. Didn't a Navy sailor, I would add a low-ranking Navy sailor, take pictures of the interior of a submarine and is now in Leavenworth? Yeah, there was a sailor who rightly so was prosecuted because he knew better than to take and share photos from inside there. But no, that's a very good point by Travis. Let's get back into the phone lines here. One of the great people we've gotten to get to know thanks to John Jackson and his 100,000 plus followers on X, Granny Pam in North Carolina. Great to hear from you.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Well, doing great, especially now that we got that nice Southern Belle voice on the radio.
Hey, look, before I talk about Trump, I want to give a shout-out to David Noble. He did an interview on the lead-up time before the Trump rally, well, before Trump spoke at the rally, and did an excellent job. I tweeted him out. I think I tagged you on it, Aaron.
Yeah.
So he did
yeah.
a really, really good job. He's a good one to have on your team.
He's incredible, isn't he? Yeah, he was live. He's got his Twitch TV podcast. And when I did my preview of the Trump rally, I was sure to include, you know, the info about his live stream, his live Twitch TV podcast, because, yeah, man, he gives such great insight, good information. But, yeah, he was there just live streaming the whole time. And we were BSing a little bit throughout the evening as well.
Well, he did a great job. You did, too. I didn't get to hear much of what you were doing, but I did see a couple of pictures of you hanging out with some folks. And, you know,
yeah.
It's great. It's great when you're able to do that kind of stuff. With everything that Musk and Trump talked about last night, and there was a lot of good stuff there, a lot of good stuff, energy and the fast trains and just the border, they covered everything, I think. But the boss man, he wanted to know if he was going to get paid. I think that was the best thing out of the 2 hours plus that we listened to. And it caught Musk off guard. He's like, and finally Trump smiled and said something. But, you know, the boss man was being a boss man last night. You guys have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, you too. Yeah, great to hear from you. John, your thoughts?
Oh, exactly. Those are the two things I caught last night was the Iron Dome.
Yep.
And then towards the end, when they were talking about the engagement that the interview got, And Trump was saying, oh, yeah, you got great numbers here, Elon. This is awesome. It's breaking all kinds of these records. Am I going to get paid for this? And Elon's like, he's like stumped, and he gives this like nervous laughter. Like, because he doesn't know if Trump is serious. Right?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, we didn't have an agreement signed, did we? He's like, oh, darn it. Yeah.
And he's imagining, wait, how much would I have to pay him?
So, yeah, the reason, so I wasn't tweeting too much at the Trump rally Friday night because mainly I wanted to be on watch. I was trying to grab some interviews. I did do a lot of on-camera video TV interviews with a whole bunch of folks, and all those video interviews, Tim Sheehy, Steve Daines, and more, are now posted at MontanaTalks.com. They're all on our radio station YouTube page as well, so you can see all that, all the stuff from the floor of the Trump rally. David Noble made that point Friday night. He said, we need an Iron Dome for America.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now all of a sudden they're tough on crime. Do you see what is happening here? I'm going to bring inflation down on day one. Well, what have you done for the last 4 years? Except make the economy a disaster. What happened to the $93 trillion that you sponsored in the United States Senate to pass the Green New Deal? $93 trillion, government guaranteed everything. You no longer believe that either? Well, we wouldn't know because we have a complicit, complying, corrupt media that is abusively biased, basically nothing but an extension of the Democratic press office of Harris and Walz.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, ready to give your home a summer makeover without breaking the bank? Our friends at Blinds.com, they have you covered with huge summer savings on premium customizable window treatments. I love Blinds.com. They invented the better way to shop for energy-saving blinds and shutters. I love my motorized options. You'll love them too. And even cooling outdoor shades, all online. Blinds.com, they give you free professional design experts that can help make a minor project like updating your window treatments have a major impact on your home's decor. They also send you free samples, and plus you get unlimited window treatments installed, whether it's one window or 50 windows, for one low cost. And as always, Blinds.com has their 100% satisfaction guarantee, 100%. And if you shop at Blinds.com right now, you get huge summer savings, up to 40% off site-wide. That's up to 40% off site-wide for a limited time when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's 201-6263.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had a great message on our Montana Talks app earlier from Tim in Billings. I think one of our other listeners had said, yeah, something to the effect of, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they're just as liberal as Beijing, as a communist Chinese. And Tim in Billings says, Aaron, Beijing is actually less progressive than the Harris-Walz ticket. The reason I say this is because the gender confusion trans ideology is banned in China. So in that sense, they aren't even as liberal as these two progressives. What a great point from Tim in Billings. I think he's now on the phone lines as well. Tim, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron and John. Yeah, it was when Mr. Lott was on, and you guys mentioned that about that there's nobody more left of the Walz-Harris ticket than other than Beijing. But anyways, I saw a X post that it just solidified some thoughts that I'd had, and I'm just going to read the quote because it's just perfect. And it says, pathetic, empty, and unproductive people don't care about losing their freedom because they weren't doing anything meaningful with it anyways. Many of these same people rejoice at the loss of freedom for others because it makes them feel better about their miserable existence. And I thought, you know what? What a better definition for the Democrat Party than that. There isn't one. These people that worship the state, and they worship government control, and they worship authoritarianism. It's just, that's the Democrat Party in a nutshell.
Yeah, very good point. A worship of the state, worship of government, and yet they will shut down houses of worship. It's almost as if they're deliberately using government to replace houses of worship. We've seen that as a pattern, especially since the 1960s, haven't we? And look at the results. John Jackson, I know we only got a couple of minutes to go. What do you want to talk about? Because we so appreciate your time being with us.
Well, since Tim and Savage is daring us to up our game and comparing us to the flakes, I thought I would share with you what yesterday the entire left wing, the entire worldwide left wing was having an absolute freak out about this Trump-Elon Musk interview. Ahead of time, they were pre-hating. They were already pre-hating on it, right? Up to the point to where the EU sent an official letter to Elon Musk demanding that he censor Trump on this space.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
And did you see how Elon Musk responded? He responded on his official Twitter site with a meme. And that meme said, take a big step back and literally F your face.
Yeah. When you said the EU, all I could think of was EU. EU. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. No. And then what about this massive cyber attack to try to prevent Donald Trump from even speaking out on the X platform to begin with? Don't worry, John. The FBI says they're taking this very seriously, and they will investigate just who might be responsible for this.
Gosh, who could that have been? I mean, who out there has the most to lose from Trump's message getting out? Gosh, who would that be? I can't decide.
Headquarters will be taking this very seriously. Very seriously. Just want you to know how seriously we're taking this one.
Please stay on the line, and we will get back to you right away.
Yeah, the bad elevator music playing in the background. Do, 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 do. Doo-doo. How many millions did Strzok and Page get after? Anyway, crazy stuff. Thanks for finding that clip for me, by the way. There was one soundbite that President Trump had on Friday night in Bozeman at the rally, and I was trying to find this one specific line. You found it for me on X, and I don't think I played it yesterday, but I think I still have it in my audio files here. Let's see. What, today's the 13th. I'm going to have to look through my August 12th. Clips here. If not, I shared it via X as well, but it was when Trump was talking about Comrade Walls and Comrade Harris, so I'll play that for you coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. John, great to see you as always. Thanks thanks for joining us.
Anytime, sir.
Follow him on X at PVTJokerUS, at PrivateJokerUS. You think he's unwoke on the radio? Whoa, you're going to be clutching the pearls on Twitter.